the podcast that Spotify tried to ban. Ding, 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 ding. You get the idea. Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast. The podcast that has one easily amused host and one not so easily amused. You decide which is which. I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford, joined by your other host, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello.
Hello, John.
Hello, Fintan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Are you?
I am, yeah. Why not?
Are you living your best life?
Something somebody said to me recently. And they said, true happiness is jump out of bed in the morning, excited to go to work. And at the end of the day, you're excited to go home to your family. And that's kind of the nice balance between, you know, having, in his view, an ideal life. And I agree with that. I'm jumping out of bed to go to work, and I can't wait to see my family at the end of the day.
Fenton, You just described a sheepdog.
I'm very food motivated.
yeah, you're really quick with them, John.
I must admit. A pocket full of gummy bears, you could train me to do anything.
They don't even have to be those special Dutch gummies.
No, just a regular Haribo or a peanut M&M.
One of us is easily pleased, the other one easily dissatisfied. And that leads to unhappiness, doesn't it? I think the easier pleased you are, the easier. I don't wear happiness on my face or anywhere visually at all. But I'm one of those people, I can be contented wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. I can find something positive, would you believe? But I really am that kind of person. And it's kept me sane for decades at a time.
They say as you age, you become more philosophical. I feel like we're getting there, guys, as we're on our third podcast here.
I'm fucking way.
What happens is as you age, your testosterone levels drop, which I think just calms you down. I think is the actual, like, what really happens. You can think clearly again.
And then the doctor recommends you get back on the high horse and just injects the crap out of you. Yeah,
totally,
and there you
fine.
Go.
Totally fine. I'm going to be a jacked 80-year-old. I can't wait.
Fenton,
I take all the drugs.
I think that you and I should volunteer for SBC's white collar boxing, and we'll see whose fucking testosterone's dropped.
Well, they're doing that. They're doing the what I call the Thai tourist boxing at SBC now.
They do the charity boxing event.
Yeah, I'm not a fighter, John. I my boxing career ended years ago. Turns out I've got a delicate nose, and it's just not designed for being punched. I'm a bleeder.
Yeah, one of those. That's why it's called white collar, not red collar. You know, it's just part of the charity.
Remember,
you know.
I remember my first sparring. My first sparring thing, and the guy, like, I thought I was Muhammad Ali in the ring, and my dad said, "No, Fintan, your feet didn't move. Your hips did, but your feet went nowhere. Like, you literally didn't move." And the other kid just, like, reached out and just bopped me on the nose. And it was just blood everywhere. And that happened for, like, a few weeks in a row. And it's just like, tell you what, son, let's try judo.
It's just safer sport.
Yeah, this isn't for you, son. So, yeah, unfortunately, I won't be white-collar boxing.
I need to prove my testosterone is intact. Arr!
You see, this is Fintan's testosterone getting lower and not willing to do things for charity. Fintan, this is just what you need to do. Get back in the ring. Maybe your nose has changed in time. We won't know until we discover it, you know? We won't know.
Yeah. The queue of people fighting to fight me just to smash my nose. Make a fortune for charity. Make a fortune. It'd be brilliant. That'd be brilliant.
Fintan, can you imagine how many people I've pissed off over the years? Can you imagine what the queue to beat me up would look like?
Oh, it'd be like a Royal Rumble. It'd be like a Royal Rumble. It'd be like,
just
the entrance, you're fighting away, and then the entrance music. Oh, my God.
Another one.
You know, John.
You're surely dead.
The problem is how many times will Fintan rejoin the queue in that case? You know, he'll just keep going like, I've got to get back in, you know?
Off the top rope.
I forgot something.
Oh my God, he's got the steel chair. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Good times.
Talking of that kind of thing, I think we should thank one of our sponsors. I'd like to thank OptiMove.
Well, No. You don't segue like that, Fintan.
No?
That was amateur hour for one
thing. Was it?
And
keep things moving.
It gives me the opportunity to thank our sponsors, GLI. because today's episode is brought to you by Gaming Laboratories International. GLI is a world-class testing, inspections, and certification company committed to delivering the highest quality land-based lottery and iGaming testing and assessment services around the world. GLI provides suppliers, operators, and regulators with expert guidance for navigating the future of iGaming and ensuring gaming innovations meet regulatory standards with confidence in more than 710 jurisdictions. For more information, visit GamingLabs.com. And the reason that that needed to come first is because of all the testosterone.
Their offices are right on this floor, so I will tell them you did a great job, John.
They're magnificent.
Yeah. That's it.
Intense.
Fintan, have you learned the lesson?
I don't think I can follow that. I think we're gonna have to a little bit more chit chat, and then kind of I'll have to work it in somehow, because that was a lot. I'm ready to go get stuff tested.
Like, yeah.
What do you think about? Well, do you know what? I tell you what I can do. Right, I'll just gently introduce our guest.
I think you should.
And then you can see if there's a way in. So we're joined by Mark Flores Martin of Xgenia, CEO and co-founder. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
See, I remembered that. Returning guest, but they've had a major development. But before we get into that, Mark, what are your thoughts on positions?
So, you know, missionary, I think is the classic.
Oh my, you had to go there, didn't you?
Well, no, you just asked about positions. I don't know where you basically understood you that way. John, remember what type of reputation you have. No one's going to think you're asking a serious question.
I meant anything. Anything. You could have clarified, but no. Straight in with the smutty talk. This is that kind of podcast.
This part, it's gonna. We're gonna have to put the 18 plus rating on it now. It's gonna.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and then.
No. No.
I did,
do you have a matching sponsor, John? With that, maybe.
What, an 18 rated sponsor?
No, a position sponsor. Yeah.
We do have a position sponsor. Actually, we've got a positionless sponsor.
Oh, that's a
so I'd like to thank OptiMove. The how would you say the creator
you can do
of position?
It. You can do this. I believe in you.
it's only been 50 episodes.
I don't know if they're going to sponsor that well after this. You know.
Oh, they don't listen. They renew every year. They don't listen for sure.
Don't say that. This will be the one they hear. Won't
I know.
Damn it.
But anyway, I'd like to thank OptiMove. They are one of the key sponsors to this episode. They are the creator of Positionless Marketing and the number one player engagement solution for iGaming and sports betting operators.
Wow.
So if you'd like to learn more about Positionless Marketing, go to OptiMove.com. Tell them we sent you and maybe they'll renew for a fourth year. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had that. We've done two. This is like episode 262, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And they've been on
just the third year,
but they've been on well over 100 episodes, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been very good.
They have, but also they make good guests. And speaking of good guests, we had a.
I think we should talk to Mark about what he's doing. So, Mark,
but hang on though, Fintan, just before we talk to Mark about what he's doing. Mark, are you going to IGB Live in July?
Probably not. I think the next.
You buffoon!
Damn it! Where is IGB Live in June? In June?
London.
In London.
Early July in London. But it's organised by one of our sponsors, World Gaming, formerly known as Clarion. They're very good at what they do. They produce world-class gambling events and conferences. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
That,
We love you, World Gaming.
That was well put, I must admit.
But anyway, so what have you been up to, Mark? Anything?
So, yeah, we've been quite busy thinking about, you know, the landscape of iGaming and where it's going. You know, everyone keeps, and at least nowadays, we're seeing the word AI used less, or at least I feel it's used less. So I'm going to rebrand it to the intelligence era of iGaming now. And that's what I plan to use for the rest of this. So two of the big things we've done is we've pushed the fully agentic platform out, right? Which means that you ask for something and you go have your coffee and AI just do it for you in the background from what, you know, we started in slots, if you remember, way back. Mm-hmm. And now we're in everything else under the sun that artificial intelligence can create. And we took our base platform, the entire system, which has all the you know, node systems, and you can connect them, drag and drop them with the interface and the building interface. And we just decided that the iGaming industry really, really desperately needs a good platform that is built towards, you know, the industry. So we decided to open source that work from the last year and a half over to everyone. Basically, we made a GPL3 copyleft license, which basically means that if you make edits, you should give them back to the community. So this is a community project, and the idea is to keep, you know, keep our AIs we're building obviously internally to us, and that is how we plan to make money, right? We're our business after all. But for the rest of it, and whoever is building on the Exgenia platform now has a way that if they don't like this podcast, they can just, you know, say, you know, I don't like you and I'm moving away in a way. So, you know, so they have full authority to build on a system that they can trust is going to be there no matter what, right? And we're going to keep supporting the open source project. We have a lot of plans to increase the AI agents on it, to increase automation. And also the big one, which is going to come out soon from our side, is what's called headless intelligent creation, which means it interacts with, you know, all the other AIs that are available, such as, you know, a lot of people have started using OpenClaw or these, and can interact with those to create games whilst OpenClaw interacts with something else, for example. So it's becoming a little bit of a spider web. Nobody does anything. AIs will be running a lot of the things. And then when they discover something good, you can always open up the interface and actually edit the game and polish it out to perfection, whether it's a crash game or a roulette game or a slots game. I think most of our clients are still very much on slots, but there's quite a few now which are building some really wild stuff, I would say, is coming to the market soon. Some really weird, quirky games that I think nobody's really expecting. And we're going to see some cool stuff coming to market that wasn't really possible without AIs being where they are today. You know, so we're going to see some really cool stuff coming out. But yeah, we've pushed it out, and anyone who wants to grab and edit it with their Claude code, because who programs today, right, at this rate, you know, and modify it and play with it and change it and claim it as their own and plant their own flag and seed and whatever they want to do, it's there available online. So happily that the competitors can, you know, also see that and use it.
Look, I've been waiting for somebody to do this for years. I think pushing a platform out as open source it's not what the gambling industry does, right? This is a very secretive industry. It's very IP protected, even though, you know, it's kind of not as well. But I think when you look at software, like when we look outside the industry, when you look at software, open always beats closed. So, you know, Unix or MySQL or Android or, yeah, and there's tons more projects. You know, the internet's running on open source software. WordPress, you know, great example. And I think what you're doing, like, I think this is long overdue. And in terms of your, like, because obviously there's a few different business models for this, right? So there's, if you look at, say, WordPress is a good example, or Red Hat or something like that, where by making it open source, allowing plugins, allowing people to build on it, you create the ecosystem. And then you guys are like the platform experts, so you can sell managed services, custom dev, support, advanced whatevers. Is that the plan? Or what's your kind of roadmap? Because that'd be the normal kind of open source. We've got an open source platform, and then this is how we're going to make money for the foundation or the business behind it. What's your business model going to be?
So let's take WordPress as a good example, right? So if we go back pre-intelligence days, right? Then when an project was open source, in order for you to fork it and change it and modify it and blah blah blah, it required months of dev time to understand it and to do things. So normally you would go back to the founders, so to speak, of that project, creators, devs, and say, "Oh, we want this feature," because it's much less costly to sponsor a feature, or we need some support, or we need this. However, with the era we're in today, where you can, we have models like Mythos about to drop, or all these, strong ones, we're in a way that you can go in and you can say, "You know what? I really want this feature from the AI, or I really want to do this, or I don't know how to do this. How do I do it?" And the AI is answering you. So the world of open source, where there was that moat because of knowledge, is ending, right? I feel this is my opinion. So you can now develop WordPress, a single person using AIs, and bring out a whole new WordPress that is better. Doesn't mean people are going to be interested, but you can do it. From our side, the way we want to win our customers is we believe our expertise, our moat, lies in our AI labs, in our AI knowledge, and we're not just we want to win the, we're giving it out open source and saying, "Look, we believe so much in our AI technology that we're giving this out for free because we know you will want to use the technology related to AIs that we are providing that goes hand in hand with this." Now, I'm sure it's an ecosystem, so I'm sure other players, maybe on the AI space, if they come along, will say, "Oh, great, I'm going to also connect my AI to this," and that ecosystem grows, which is great. But for us, our focus is, just making sure that what we build and what we deliver is going to be a really, really strong, really secure, really safe platform for other people to connect in and make offerings or build businesses upon. And also for them to know that, okay, if Xgenia messes up, we can walk away, but they have the safety in their mind. And I think for our clients, in the iGaming world, it was all they've had their interactions with using a platform and then rug pull and then this. So this eliminates all those potential worries as well. But yeah, people are finding it strange that we go out and we open source
No,
such
it
a
makes
system.
look, I've met a guy who made millions selling a photo gallery plugin for WordPress. Right, so there was the free version, and then if you wanted like the extra features, there was like the $9.99 version, and he leads a very good life. Now, in saying that, there are thousands of plugins that can do photo image gallery type stuff on WordPress, right? So it's a very competitive market, but that's what makes WordPress so strong in terms of a competitive ecosystem around that platform. And you can basically, okay, if we get beyond the fact that like there's probably a lot of basic features missing from WordPress that should just be there and stuff like that, but that ecosystem and other people being able to build on top of the software makes it stronger over time, and it's more secure because there's more eyes looking at the code and these kind of things. So I know I was lecturing my son the other day around he should just be building AI agents. Like if he wants to like just skip college and make a lot of money, just start building little AI agents or AI tools that solve problems and just get people using his stuff. How accessible, like if I wanted to, like if I download the platform and want to start building features or plugins or agents to interact with the platform, how easy is that? And is there going to be a marketplace for distribution or for visibility of what's out there or what's being built for the platform?
Yeah, so the answer is that I guess building an agent, so building an agent that just connecting an agent to the platform to do things, that's very easy because you can just get the agent to do it itself. Where our AIs excel is the amount of understanding in the vibe coding space that AIs have, right? And we have a number of them there. People are also able to use their own AIs on top of that, like Claude and all these, to connect to the system. So we support every AI out there. And then if you connect another agent like OpenClaw that controls that AI, which is like a sub-agent, which then controls the sub-agents inside of Xgenia. So you can do a lot there. And at the same time, what the AIs build in our platform is it builds those, if this then else style connections. You do those connections, so which can go backwards, forwards. It's not just linear. So it's very easy to understand what the AIs have built, because I think there's going to be a widening gap between knowledge of what how to program and what the AIs are doing, and there has to be a human interface for that code, because developers will be coding via AIs more and more, and it's just going to be an easier way to do things. It seems like a very distant past where everything we did was a single line of code not using AI, but it was just a couple of years ago, even less. So yeah, it's very easy. You can do it. You can get Claude or whatever, and you can plug it, and you can start playing with it. Your second question has escaped me. So, what is?
Well, I suppose it's because obviously, from an agent perspective, it's easy to tell the agent to do stuff, right? Hey, make me this, or implement this routine, or this scheduled service, or this feature. Obviously, the quality of the code that the agent produces is variable, particularly from a gambling industry perspective, where getting hacked is bad for business. So I think it'd be an interesting, like, what does and is that part of the benefit of open source in terms of more eyes on the code? Like open code is typically more secure than closed code, right? And then, sorry, and then, but the second question was like, is there going to be a marketplace for like, because it's not just agents, right? It's going to be features, it's going to be UX, it's going to be workflows, it's going to be even just MD files or something. So anyway, that's kind of just two thoughts.
So just going backwards in the marketplace, so yeah, we want to develop out a marketplace. We want to see with the community, so to speak. I mean, we're now announcing it more and more. We just announced it to our PR partners, and we haven't even sent it out to the clients yet, but we will do so this week as well. So we're slowly getting people know about it. But yeah, we want to do a marketplace. We want to have it open source as well, where everyone can come and put in their node systems, their ideas, their integrations, whatever they're doing that the AIs can then just connect with. So, it's not, it's like, if there's an affiliate platform, they can just, just as the AIs connect the affiliate platform, we're done, right? So it's sort of to that level, and obviously catered for the iGaming industry in that sector. When it comes to everything else and making a push on the agentics, then it's I imagine that through the marketplace, for the most part, we will see things like skills or what's next after skills, right? Coming in. So we're quite now we're since we released it, we're in a bit of a quiet zone where customers are feeling like, oh, perfect. I'm building a lot with this tool, and now I have a massive level of safety. We're also seeing what people expect from XGenie on the open source side next, right? But for us, I think the most realistic scenario in the near future in AI and what we're seeing from our side is going to be XGenie being a cogwheel in the many AI agents you might deploy for doing various things, right? So we want to make sure that data comes into the AIs and understands your casino. And when it builds a game for your casino, it builds it to your specific audience, right? So this is, we're entering an era of hyper-customization through machine learning data at the same time. So I think it's going to be an interesting industry, as there's a lot of players on customer retention and all these type of things. And this becomes harder to say as a company, because the reality is that agents are pretty good at that already. And building machine learning models is a no-brainer, right? You can put an AI, connect Hugging Face, AutoML or Microsoft AutoML, and bam, within a few hours, you have a robust machine learning platform for your personal data. It's an MCP plugged into an agent. You know, this was unfathomable before, right? Couldn't be thought of. So, you know, now we're entering a very interesting world.
I think it obviously there's, like, you know, the SaaS apocalypse, in terms of it's never been easier to launch software and build these tools and stuff. But, and, you know, I've done a lot with AI in the last, say, even 6 months. But there is a benefit to just, like, off the shelf, it works. You know, there's been 10,000 hours of thinking and usage just put into this, and I don't have to think. So do you feel this is going to be more suitable for, is it, I suppose the question is, like, we're still obviously quite early in the cycle. So right now, this is more suitable for bigger firms with, like, dedicated dev teams? Or do you actually see that, no, this is ideal for the person in their bedroom who wants to take on the big guys? Like, where do you feel the tech is right now?
So I think it's for both, right? So we have from the biggest to the smallest. And I think the clients, the smaller ones definitely need much more hand-holding and, you know, whatever. And we're happy to help. We help them by telling them, ask the AIs. I'm joking, but, you know, just gives us the AI.
It's the new logger ticket.
Yeah. you know, because of the way we've structured XGenie over time, thinking things first, you know, we don't have that much customer support, because who do they ask first? They ask the AI sitting in the app, which knows every damn thing about the app and can research it, if not inside of the thing. So our customer support has dropped a lot, which is great. But it's for both, right? So those guys that are building for Stake, we have Stake Export, and those guys that are, you know, running $1 billion companies, you know, top of their game, and they need to move forward, and they need a platform that they can see there. So that's one. But to argument your point that, I mean, for me, I've already considered SaaS to be dead, right, in the way and shape of form that we're selling. I think that people just are grasping on old straws at this point, and I'll explain why. If you look at Mythos, I think I'm always going to try and speak about things that people know, right? Because we go ZA, I always speak about other things all day long. But Mythos from Anthropic is one that people are following, and it's on the news and stuff. And that's set out, they consider it too dangerous because it found too many vulnerabilities, too many bugs, too many this, too many that. On the other side, those that are using Mythos, right, the researchers and the ones that have access to it, and we've also gained a little bit of access, we had a very short time window, but anyway, the capabilities that these new AIs, and I'm pretty sure OpenAI must have a 6th model about to drop as well, is so far in the future that people can imagine that this level of stability that the AIs will be able to build compared to what they can build today is day and night, right? You will not be able to compare the human coding nature to what's coming next. So if you are going, we're going to end up in a situation where they go, oh, this is hand coded. Oh no. Now that worries me. Have you checked it with AIs? How well checked is it? Yeah. So that's what I think is now, if you have that tool and I don't know what the costs are going to be, because apparently it's the cost of inference is insane at the moment for these models. But if you can spin up a better tool on the SaaS side, right, than what is available, and you can spin up machine learning in seconds, then where is the moat for these companies, and why will these companies keep stuck to them? Is it because they like to drink with them at conferences? It's going to be a very tough decision. And drinking at conferences is a very valid reason, don't get me wrong. I will buy from any supplier that drinks with me in a conference all day long, right? AI or not. But the thing is that the reality is, as we know it, is changing. And the saying that this is battle tested is just not going to be that well used anymore, because everyone wants to build the next big thing and the next big win. And if they're going to try and build it with off-the-shelf software, it's not going to work.
So let's do a thought experiment, right? So, and again, I know, like, how far could we go with your software? So obviously, building games is kind of where you guys started. Could I build an entire platform?
Yes.
Okay, so let's imagine then raffles or whatever, those win a house type contests are huge in the UK right now. So if I wanted to launch a raffle contest website in the UK, what would I need to do with your software to bring that to life?
So with our software, you would just simply need to probably connect. We support Supabase as a database. That's what we like, and that's what we support. You can integrate anything, but that's what we support. And you can connect that, and then on top of that, you simply ask for it to build that, to build an app. I mean, we're not really focused much on a website. It can build websites, and they're decent, but I wouldn't say our focus is there. Like Lovable is very focused on websites, and okay, they all look the same because they're all templates which is edited by AI, which I don't know why they're doing it that way, but it's pretty
Same
obvious.
colors as well. It's really weird. It's very similar. I know.
Yeah.
You can spot an AI website these days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So it's like if you do it with a genuine website, I would be like, maybe not the right tool for that. Is like you're using
Okay, well, let's say, look, an app makes perfect sense, right?
So
So
what?
we build an app.
Yeah, and then like Xenia has it all, has the pages, has the connectors, has the input forms. Anything you need to build an app is there.
Okay.
Theoretically, going back to its foundations would be that it was an app builder, I would say, and then brought into a game builder more than it was, because this is what
Okay.
AIs
So
are.
what about things like payment processing? Because obviously I'm going to need to connect some third party to that. Is that okay?
Yeah, there's a Stripe template if you want to use that, or you can do whatever you want. You can just ask the AIs for what you want. So they will go ahead and build anything that your mind can paddle towards, basically. I mean, not John, not sex robots, but anything else. This I could see John. This is where he was going. From his positions to there, it's always the same. So yeah,
My
and
mind is so far past sex robots. That's old hat.
fair enough.
So far past that.
But ro like robotic, think take robotics for example. It's an interesting one actually. We're going a little bit off the tangent a little bit, but let's say you wanted to build a robot, right? you would say, it's very difficult to build a robot. You need the hardware. You need that. Okay. But for the most part, if you had some knowledge of putting together some hardware, right, and create an arm, for example, the training of the robot is open sourced by, for example, NVIDIA, right, which is the same technology they created Olaf, the Olaf robot that fell down and looked like he died, which is a great scene in my opinion. But you can do it with programming. You can create a robotics. What you do with it, it's your personal business. Let's not divulge.
It's between you and your conscience.
Yeah. So but you can do it. You can there's it The technology is so getting so easily accessible to anybody that like nobody's really doing anything. In the gambling industry, we're so stuck behind. Like maybe in the next thing for that I might do is build a robot dealer. I know it's not hard. If someone out there wants to do a startup robot dealer, it's not hard, right? You can go and do it. So it's getting so advanced. It's becoming a little bit crazy. So
So where do you okay, so if we jump ahead then to the I think we overestimate the short term, underestimate the long term, right? But if we kind of go out 5 years, what do you think the industry looks like in 5 years' time?
I think that, so if I had to make a prediction about what the industry looks like in 5 years, is that companies that are focused a lot on slots will be struggling big time. There will be a massive new types of games which we are not expecting, which only AI could make possible in technology that is here today and tomorrow. Without that technology being where it is, they would have been impossible 2, 3 years ago. And I think that we can see it from predictions market, if you wish, right? That there's people are looking for some new innovation there. It's simpler, but gives more of a thrill. Now, slot machines, lots of lights, lots of gameplay, lots of that. But AI has a lot that can be done, right? So I think that the industry will see in 5 years, we'll see a massive 50% of the market share will probably be still old games, but dwindling. And 50% of the entire market share will be games which we have not yet seen hitting the market and products which don't exist today, but will exist once people start looking at AI from a very different perspective they are now, which is they look at it as a single once deployed tool rather than an infrastructure, right, for their company.
One of my worries about AI development in games is a very simple one. Slots are cited by people in the RG space as being, oh, this is the most addictive. So one of the key factors in addiction is sort of frequency. So nobody's addicted to a weekly lottery draw because it's just not frequent enough. Where's the fun in that? But your fixed odds betting terminal that's doing a fucking roulette spin every 1.6 seconds or whatever it was, that's the money shot. And we saw a lot of social problems in the UK as a direct result, and antisocial behaviour, arrests, violence in bookmakers, which is traditionally a pretty sedate place. My worry about AI developed games is that somebody's going to get into this. Look at the prompt and go, great, let's just make a super addictive slot that hits that does loads of, I can't remember what the term is now. When a loss is celebrated, I can't remember what that's called.
The near miss.
Near miss, thank you, yeah. So more near misses, more frequent hits that aren't hits, and that
But
optimizes
have you
for
played
danger.
any mobile game right now? Have you played anything by Supercell or like this already exists. Like this is beyond like mobile games on your phone. Like
As
not
in not
gambling.
gambling games.
Not gambling games, just like straight up like Supercell, I don't know, whatever the fucking game is called, like, honed to within an inch of its life to addiction.
And I'm not going to confirm or deny this rumor, but, you know, rumor has it that a lot of these games are built from experts in gambling mathematics. I don't know which companies or what, but there's definitely gambling experts and maths and people from our industry, let's put it that way, who are being utilized there. And why not? You know, those mech.
But they've also got such bigger data sets. Like, if it's one of these mobile games where you've got 10 million users or 50 million users, like, that's way more than it's playing any one slot game. So the data you're harvesting constantly to, you know, that the machine learning, the AI can actually do stuff with and start making tweaks and adjustments is phenomenal. And actually, I think we're probably at the point of, like, bringing that back to gambling. Of, like, they've understood the, because they're able to do it at such a high level in terms of the amount of data they can harvest.
But isn't it from the other side as the, you know, one, I think that we're going to see more AIs, especially with the next releases. They're going to be more blocking a lot of these riskier things, right? And I can already see it in some of the frontier models which are in testing, right? That they're being forced to add more protection, not necessarily because they want, but if they don't do it, then the model might understand that there is a way around certain restrictions, right? Like what has happened with Mythos, right? As an example, since everyone is following that. It's happening with all the larger frontier models. So that might protect. But on the other side, a user who will have an AI running on their phone is going to tell them that, hey, be careful, this game is doing this because of this, and this. So it's going to educate users in a way we didn't have that education before.
You think? That feels very sensible.
Yeah, I think it's coming. And I think people, when they are, when they're more highly protected now with AI, so how often did, you know, like, something comes online, they go, oh, is this real, Mr. ChatGPT? Can I really lose 10 kilos in a week? And it goes, no. Uh-uh. That's a known scam. Don't buy it. You know? So if that was basically over... So I don't know if you have, like, this device I have here, right? No, they should market them, but this is called OMI device, right? Which basically just goes around with me and records my day and then gives me a summary at the end and creates tasks and connects to my agents and allows me to automate actions as I'm thinking or walking or whatever. But they got out a desktop tool as well, which is sort of like OpenClaw, but for user enhancement that sort of sits there. And the trailer is quite funny. You should watch it. It's basically, you know, catches his wife cheating. Just give you a spoiler alert. But... it's sort of like, you know, monitoring what's going on, and it's actually advising you as you go along, like, yeah, this is not a good deal, or I found an alternative book for you, it's probably better priced, or I did this, or I did that, and it's always helping you out on the go. And I think that will become standard in Apple devices soon, it will come standard in Android devices, just, hey, this is that.
Okay, you know, that's a very fair point. Like, I'm messing around with an AI agent in my Slack, and, like, every morning it's got, like, an idea for me, or, hey, do you want me to do this, or I saw this yesterday, should we do? And it's like, some days you're like, huh, you're the only one not bringing me problems, just bringing me ideas and solutions. This is lovely. But yeah, I think if you know, and OpenClaw is famous for being maybe too proactive, but being but I think, yeah, okay, I can believe that. Just building that into your Apple headphones or something just makes perfect sense, right? It's just such a no-brainer. And then it's, you know, first thing in the morning, here's your to-do list, here's your action points, your calendar's updated, I've sent these emails, I've ordered those flowers, whatever. That makes Yeah, okay. And then the protection layer of, hey, I think this is a scam.
Yeah, Fintan, you're getting there. We're getting there. You see it now.
I see it. No, I see it. I see it. I don't know about you, but like you're doom scrolling Instagram and you end up buying some bullshit thing. And just that little intervention layer of, hey, I found some actual pictures of this product and here's how shit it is. Are you sure you want to drop 20 quid on it?
Yeah. Not that much that it's like a nagging husband or wife. Let's do it that way.
Yeah, but it's there as like a little, hey, dude, are you sure? Just that arm on the shoulder, like, are you sure?
Yeah. Do you remember how you felt on 16th June 2018 about this? You know?
Or, as simple as, you already have one of these.
Oh, do you know, Amazon does that. So the amount of times I've nearly bought a Kindle book I already own by mistake. But what Amazon does, and it really confused me for ages, what Amazon does is it just hides the buy button. If you already own the book, it won't actually give you the buy button. It doesn't tell you you already own this book. It just hides the buy button, which is the most weirdest way to handle that problem.
Interesting.
And I'm like, fucking, why can't I buy this book? Let me buy the book. This is ridiculous. And then eventually I figured out.
It dawned upon you. But you see, that's where the AI kicks in. It's like, hey, you already own this book. Are you looking for a buy button? Because it ain't there.
You didn't read it the first time either.
Do you not sure. know what you read? Shame on you. Shame. For shame like that, you know. That would be John's AI. For shame all the time.
Some things in life you need more than one of. For example, as I know I've mentioned before, my greatest ever drunk shopping purchase. And I was blind drunk when I bought this. God knows how I even thought to search for it. Several days after being that drunk, a package turns up in the post. And it's a fake diamond studded Batman logo belt. Which is only big enough to wrap around my thigh.
Like a garter.
And I still have it because it's a reminder of this is your brain while drunk. This is where you don't want to go. But then some days I look at it and I think, well.
Wear it like a medallion or something, John. Surely to God you can do something with this.
It is magnificent. I'm going to just put it on a belt that fits around my gut.
I feel like one of those bolo ties would suit you best.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because every time I see somebody in one of those, I think, wow, you look good.
Look, your mother always said you got to stand out in some way. I feel like you finally found it, you know?
Yeah. Do you know, my mother never said that. gentlemen, I'm going to have to wrap that up there. But
before we go, Mark, if people want to download the software, take a look at the code, do all the bits and pieces. That.
Oh, you sorry. Didn't give me the chance to say that. That's your testosterone firing prematurely, Fintan.
Just stop it, John. You're going to give him a bloody nose. You know, you continue abusing him this way.
You don't have to do much, apparently. So where can they find your goods?
So they can go just on dixgen.com and click the GitHub link, and they can download the latest version, which contains some of our pro tools as well. But they can also just download the whole code base and get cracking and, you know, go for it. And then build it and test it and play with it and modify it. And hopefully people will give back to you know, the code base. And we'll start building up a really great tool, finally, for the gambling community in built for us, by us. There we go. Rome for gambling.
Xgenia.com is X, letter X, Xgenia.com.
So AI. Not
.com. No, we have both. Yeah, we're .com. Oh, both, we're trying to drop the whole AI thing. We're moved past AI. Let's stop saying AI every, you know, on every billboard and everywhere. It's like we're in the intelligence era. Let's get over, you know, that people have AI. Everyone has AI. You know?
It's like electricity.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay, that makes sense.
Love Thank it. You, Mark. Much appreciated. And the very best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you.
With this.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Very bold new step. I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, oh, I think so too. I think it's going to great, great things to the industry. But thanks, guys. It was a real pleasure for speaking with you guys, and thanks for having me.
Stay metal. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.